Alright, so starting at the bottom of Tenemut Bet, the Tenemut Rabbanon. Now the Gemara can discuss the differences or the chumrot between different types of nizakin. Tenemut Rabbanon, chumr b'shur mi b'bor. Right? Shur has chumrot that bor does not have. Chumr b'bor mi b'shur, and also chumrot in bor that shur does not have. Chumr shur mi b'bor. What are the things that shur has that are unique to shur that bor does not have? First of all, shur mishalem et hakofer. First thing is that shur pays in the instance of a mazik, where the shur does hezek that causes death, it pays kofar. But if the shur kills an eved, then there's a knat, fixed knat, he pays shloshim for an eved knani that's killed by a shur. Nigmar dino asur bahana. Right, this is, we've seen this previously, but as soon as the gmar din is put in place, there's an iser hana when it comes to the behema, or the shur that did that killed. V'darko lelech lazik, and its nature is to go about and do damage. Tosfos says that this might be synonymous with Baal Chaim also in this case, because that happens to be a difference between a shur and a boar, is that a shur is animate and a boar is an inanimate object. So he says darko lelech lazik is hinting at that idea. Mash inkein b'boar, that's not true by a boar. Why not? Because by a boar, none of these are true. You don't pay kofar. I mean, it's shor v'lo adam, chomor v'lo ke'edim. You're not chayav for the mitzvah adam in the boar, right? There's no shloshim shel eved, right? There's no nigmar dino asur ba'ana because the mate yelo. That's what the pasuk says by boar. And obviously, it doesn't move around. Now, chomri boar mi b'shor. Boar has chumrot that. That you might be more responsible. I mean, we'll see why maybe you're responsible, but maybe the fact that it moves makes you more responsible, that you would have more obligated to watch it because it moves around. Right. Exactly. Again, bor has the characteristic that from its inception, it's a problem, meaning that it causes nezek. So it's clear here that the shor, Rashi points out that the shor we're talking about here is Karen. Because the fact that when we say boar, it's muad from the beginning means that shor is not, and that would only be by Karen. Mashen kein b'shor. Now, chomer shor mi ba'esh. Shor has unique aspects that are not found by esh. Chomer ba'esh mi b'shor, and there's things that are unique by esh that are not by shor. Chomer b'shor mi ba'esh is shashor mishalem kofar. Again, that a shor pays kofar. B'chay b'shloshim mishalavid. Nigmar dino asur bana. Then masru lechoreh shote v'katan chayav. This is yesterday's gemara that if you give it over to a chereh shote v'katan to watch, then you are chayav. Mashen kein beish. Right, and that's what we say yesterday, that eish is not that way. I mean that if you give it to a chereh shote v'katan an eish, you are poter mi dine adam. So that is not the case.
In what form you give it over, and according to whom?
Right, very good. But each one according to his way. But that is right. Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel. But each one will say that you are poter by eish. Chomer ve'esh mi b'shor. Esh has chumrot that are not apparent by shor. She'esh mu'edit mitchleta. Again, so it must be talking about Karen, but esh is mu'ad, pays full value right away. Mash'enkein b'shor. That is not true by shor. Chomer ve'esh mi b'bor. Esh has chumrot that are not found by bor. V'chomer bor mi b'esh. And bor has unique characteristics of chumrot that are not found by esh. Chomer bor mi b'esh. Chilat asiyatol ha'nezek. Again, it's from its inception. It basically causes, or is there to cause damage. Masrol the cherishot v'katan chayav. Again, if he gives it over to a cherishot and katan, is chayav. Those were the two things that we mentioned yesterday, were shor and a boar that are given to a cherishot and katan. You are responsible for. Mashen kim ve'esh ve'esh. It was patur mi dine adam. Chomer ve'esh mi b'bor. Sha'esh dar kadelech ulazik. Again, esh moves about and does damage. Obviously, it's not a animate object in the sense that it's a bal chayim, but rather that it does not stationary in doing its damage, it moves about to do its damage. Right, that it eats or it consumes items that are both ra'ui, meaning that normally would be consumed or eaten up by fire, or even things that are not ra'ula. Mashen kein b'bor. That's not true by a bor. So the Gemara asks, v'litne, we have other things that are missing here. V'litne, chomer v'shor mi b'bor. One of the chumrot of shor over bor is shor chayav bo et hakelim, mashen kein b'bor. We have a principle we'll get to it later in the Gemara that there is shor by the din of bor. There is chi iftach ish bor, okiyichra ish bor v'yichatenu v'nafal sham a shor Oh Chamor. There, Balavo Yishalem Kesev Yishalavav Lameti Yalot. So when the Pasuk says, V'nafal Sham Shom Ashor or Chamor, we learn from that that it's Shor V'lo Adam, Chamor V'lo Kelim. The things that you're responsible for in a Bor are Shor and a Chamor. Excluded from that are you're not responsible for an Adam, and you're not responsible for, I mean, it comes to death, and you're not responsible for Kelim that get broken in the Bor. Right? So why don't we say that a Shor who goes and damages Kelim, you are culpable, you are responsible for that, whereas by a boar, you are not. That would be another differentiation that this, right, this verse doesn't mention at all. So Gemara said, well, that's not a problem. Hi, Mani. Who's the author of this statement? It's Rabbi Yehuda. The Mechayev on this Kelim Babor. Rabbi Yehuda, who has all these unique shitot, one by boar, that is Mechayev Kelim, by Eish, that is Mechayev Tamun, we're going to see in a second, but he believes that by Kelim, you are actually Chayav in a boar. So if that's the case, that is not a differentiating factor between Shor and Bor. The Gemara says, well, if that is the fact that he is the author, Mechayvan Nitzki Kelim Bavor, Ira Behuda, Eim Seifa, then what are you going to do with the next statement in the Mishnah, which says, Chomer Be'esh Mi Bavor, that Eish has unique characteristics or chumrot over a Bor, She'esh Darka Leilech Chulazik, Umua Dechol Ben Davar Aroila, Uben Davar Shein Roila. That Eish has a new characteristic that, and what we're focused on here, that eats, consumes things that are appropriate and not appropriate for it. Now, what is davara ru'oila? My ninu. What are things that are appropriate for fire to consume? Eitzim. That's wood. That's what fire normally consumes. Davar she'in ru'oila, my ninu. What is it, things that are not appropriate for it to consume? Kelim. That are kelim. So, ma she'in kein babor, which is not true by bor. So what are we saying? We're saying by ish, you are chaya for kelim, which is not true of bor, where you would be patur for kelim. Patur for kelim, that's not what Rabbi Yehuda says. Rabbi Yehuda says that you would be chaya for kelim. So Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, hamart mechaya v'haya Rabbi Yehuda niske kelim b'bor. We know that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that by kelim in a bor, you'd be chaya. And that would not be a differentiating factor between bor, right, and ish and bor, because bor would be chaya, and so would ish. So there's, why does this right to mention it as a difference? Elo the olam rabbanon he, right? The rabbanon must be the author of this mishnah. V'tano v'shir, the author of this braisa left out items. This is not a comprehensive list. Gemara says my shir the high shir, right? So beyond this item that we mentioned here, right? What else did he leave out? I mean, if he leaves out one item, then you can't say that. The case is that he wasn't in comprehensive list and he left that one item. At least he had a number of items, and we could say that he was giving a general gist, so he didn't get all the items. So what else did he leave out? Gemara says, Sheor Tamun. One of the things that he left out is Tamun. Tamun is by Eish. Eish, the din we learn out from Kiver Eish, where is it? Kitei to Eish, Shumata Kutim, Nechal Gadish, O Hakama. That eats a pile or kama is grain that is standing or planted in the ground. So right there, the Gemara learns kama has to be like kama, which is visible and apparent. That when the Eish consumes it, that was what you're chayav for. If it is somehow mechutzemi ayin, you're not able to see it. It's buried inside. So for instance, you have a big pile of grain, you have a silo full of grain, and somebody sticks in, you know, a bunch of his valuables inside of it. When it burns it, that person would not be responsible, the person who brought the Eish, they would not be responsible for those items that are inside, because that's the Zerta Katsub, that Tamun is Patur by Eish. So if that's the case, then that should be a differentiating factor between, for instance, Bor and Eish, other items in Eish, because a Shor and a Bor and these other items are Chayav in Tamun. It doesn't matter that if you fall into a Bor with a sack, right, full of stuff, right, well, Kelim, you're Patur, of course, so you can't say it's Kelim, right? It has to be a certain item.
A little
bunch. Right. Okay. Something that got damaged, but it was not as apparent or open, right, to the public eye. Nevertheless, you're still chayav in these instances. If a shor goes in and runs over a bag of, kelim, he's still going to be chayav, even though it's mechutzeh, it's covered. That wouldn't be true b'eish. Those should be a differentiation. So now we have two things left out of the Mishnah. We have tamun, and we have, right, that kelim are p'turim by bor. So those two items left out, so already we can say that the list is not comprehensive. Now that the author of the verse is Rabbi Yehuda, but davar she'in ra'ula lav la tuye kelim. No, the differentiation between ra'uy and ein ra'uy is not eitzim and kelim, but rather ela tuye lichka niro b'tichcha benav, which we saw before. Something that's not appropriate for fire is not kelim. Kelim are part of what fire consumes. What doesn't the fire consume? What's inappropriate for fire is lichaniru v'tichavanav, where it singes the surface of the ground or the rock, where it's not consuming the item, but it's doing damage by singeing the surface. So over there, we said, by even for you to agree that you're chayav in that instance, and obviously it's just not applicable by bore, by shore, these items, which is not, I mean, the only type of damage they do is damage that is physical in nature, and that causes, right, damage. Whereas this type of damage is superficial and is only singeing, it's unique to Aish because of Aish, because of the way Aish acts, and therefore that would be a differentiating factor. The Maskif law, Ravashi, Litnei, Chumer Shor Mi Bavor. So why don't we have this differentiating factor, that what? That a Shor is a Chumer over Bor. Shashor Chayav Bo, Shor Psulei Mikdashim, Ashein Kein Bor. That by a Shor comes to, if a Shor that does damage to Psulei HaMikdashim, then you are Chayav. If a Bor does damage to Psulei HaMikdashim, right, then you are Patur. Why? So this happens to be the din by bor. Just read you the din by bor again. Is that the chiv tach ish bor chrei ish bor v'leichasino v'nachal shem ashur chamor balabor yishalem kesef yishilava v'meit yelo. That the nevela has to be available to him. Now psulei hamikdashim are animals that were once kodesh. They got a mum in them, and you redeem those animals. When you redeem those animals, they basically become chulin in the sense that you can use them for whatever you want, or you're supposed to eat them and use them for proper purposes, but generally they're considered chulin. What you can't do with them is sell them in a certain manner in the shuk. You can't use their, shear them and use their, keep them alive, things like that, but they're meant for eating. But if they die, then it's an avela, right, then it becomes asur bahana'a. It's an avela, it's asur bahana'a. So over here you have a psulei hamikdashim that falls into a boar. If it falls into a boar, it's an isur ana'a, and therefore it can't be v'meiti elo. Since we can't fulfill v'meiti elo, it means that the balabor is going to be patur, because it's isra'na. By sure, that's not the case. By sure, if you do damage to psulei hamikdashim, you are still going to be culpable for the damage that you do to psulei hamikdashim. Now, despite the fact that also by sure it says va'meiti yelo, that also appears by sure, but the meiti yelo by sure, we learn out that the balam has to deal with the nevela. And we're going to see, we're going to learn that in a little bit. We'll see that the owners have to deal with the nevela. So Mar said, "Iamar bishlama rabbanon hi." If you say that rabbanon, the authors of our brisa here, I the shayer hach shari namiha. Right, the other items that the rabbanon have left out, right, mean tamun and kelim and abor, they're left out. So they left out psulei hamikdashim. Eliamar to Rabbi Yehuda, my shear, right, the high shear. Right, what else besides this they leave over? I mean that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there is nothing left out of the brisa. There's no exceptions, meaning that the only thing now that becomes an exception is psulei hamikdashim. It's not mentioned in the brisa, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, kelim and tamun are both chayav according to Rabbi Yehuda, therefore they're not relevant. So what is it? That's what it says, shayer dash biniro. Right? So the Gemara says that it's the dash while he's plowing. Right? So if while he was plowing away, he was going and he ruined the field or somehow the damaged items that he was going along, right, which is the tolda, what?
The shore,
who did his damage, right, that the shavarim, amulmadim, the dishaz, Rashi says, that they do dash, which is the stump, and then it becomes tolda of Karen if he does it on purpose. I mean, he goes and does damage by being dash on something. So where it says, eat b'dashum, dash b'niro, right, if he goes in and stomps on this field and ruins the field somehow, lav shiuru. That's not a leftover case. Why? Da tana shekain darko leilech ladik. That's exactly what we said about a shore. How does a shore do damage? It goes about doing damage. It moves about, it walks, and does damage. And that's exactly what dash b'niro is. Dash b'niro is him in motion or doing something that, an action that he normally does, and then doing damage with that action. What makes it karen and not regel, because it's not, he's doing bikavana, he's doing with intent to damage. I mean, that leich l'azik doesn't necessarily mean to go about with just walking naturally. He has to do some intentional action beyond that. But dash is something that shvarim are used to doing or are taken in to do. I mean, that they use in the threshing floor, right, to be dash. So therefore, it's not out of the ordinary, and therefore that would be considered darko leich l'azik, and it's already included in the Mishnah. And therefore, and Rabbi Yehuda can't be the author then if it's only leaving out one item. Now we said in our Mishnah that if I do damage to a portion.
So basically, the person has to be
Rabbana. Right. Now, Sharti b'miktasat nizko. So we talk about this idea that if a person was somehow culpable or responsible for half of the damage, then he would have to pay out the full amount of the damage. And we said we explained the Gemara. Here's the case of Gemara. So it's done, Rabbani. If Sharti b'miktasat nizko, chavti b'tashlumin nizko, kakshir kol nizko. I'm responsible or culpable in this case for the entire damage. Ketza. What is the case over here? Achofer bor tisha uvach every shlumo da'atzera. One person digs a bore that is 9 tfachim deep. Then the next person comes along and expands the bore to be 10 tfachim deep. Acharon chayav. Last one is chayav, meaning that until that point, right, the bore cannot kill somebody. Right, it can only do damage. And now by expanding the bore to 10 tfachim, you can also kill. And because of that, the person who is solely responsible is the one who expanded the bore to be 10. This is not like the position of Rabbi, the Tanya. Someone digs a bore 9 tfachim deep and someone expands it to 10 tfachim. Acharon chayav. The last guy is chayav. That's similar to what we're suggesting over here. Rabbi Omer, achar acharon lemita. No, when you want to come to culpability for causing of death, that'll be the sole responsibility of the one who expanded the bore to 10. But when it comes to Nezek, they should both be responsible, meaning that the first individual who dug it down to 9 tfachim built a bore, created a bore that was equally able to cause damage. And when this person expanded it, maybe it made it into a bore that does more damage, but that doesn't mean that the first bore was not a bore that did damage, and therefore both parties should be responsible for the Nezek that is done here. Now, if we're trying to suggest that our mission, when it describes when you do half the work, you're responsible for all of it, that is the case where he expands it to 10. That's not like Rabbi, because over here where he expands it to 10, we want it to be wholly culpable. That's the example that we're given over here. Now, Gemara says, Rapapa Amar, the Mita, the Diriyako. No, just suggest that our mission is talking case of Mita, because even Rabbi agrees, when it comes to Mita, if it comes to the killing of the animal, the only one who's culpable and the only one who's responsible is a, right, the one who expanded it from 9 to 10. Everybody agrees, even Rabbi agrees, that when it comes to Mita, right, the last guy is chayav, that there is no culpability for the first guy. Okay, Igadamri, Lemadol to Rabbi. Let us suggest that this mission, our mission is not like Rabbi. I'm Rapapa, the Misa, but they're very cold. No, it can even fit in according to Rabbi, if you do it as Misa, where even Rabbi agrees that the last person is culpable. Matzikla Rabbi Zera, Betuleka. Are there no other items where there is shared responsibility for the next thing coming about, but only one person is held culpable?
What does that last line do for us? Basically, it's repeated over and over.
No, the Igadami sets it up is that the question is on Rabbi from the Mishnah. We don't set up the Mishnah. The last case, we set up what the case is, then we ask from Rabbi, but it can't be Rabbi, and then the Gemara says, no, it could be Rabbi. Over here, we just said straight out onto the Mishnah. The Ikadamri said straight out to the Mishnah. Rabbi's not the author of the Mishnah, and then the Republic comes back to the Mitzvah Divrei Akol. It's just a different Lashon. It's the same conclusion, but different presentation, right? Are there no other items where there's joint causation when it comes to the Nezek, but only one person, the last person, is held culpable? Vayika, I have a case. Master Shoro the Chamisha Bnei Adam gave over his shor to 5 different people. Upasher bo echad mehem, and one of them did something negligent, vehedik, and then it did damage. Chayav is responsible. Hey Chidami, what's the case here? E lema debelat ihu lo hava mintor. Without this individual, it wouldn't have been guarded. Pshita, right? Then it's pshita that he's responsible. The ihu kab, he's the one who caused a somehow diminution in the Shemirah, or the one who caused a problem in the Shemirah. So of course he's culpable. Oh, we love you, Nami Mintar. Well, if it's a case where without him it would still be guarded, my Kabbat. Then what did he do? Even when he was negligent, he didn't really do anything to change the status or the status quo. Therefore, what did he do? That Rabbi Zera suggested. This is a case that Rabbi Zera suggested Mitzvara. And the Gemara can't come up with a case that really makes sense within that context. The other Gemara says, "Matis l'avrishesh va'ika," right? Marbe bechavila. What's marbe bechavila? Marbe bechavila is a case where a person adds additional fuel to the fire. He brings in more wood or more kindling to light in the fire. So, hey, Kizami, what's the case here again? What's the case? Even lo azlo. If it was without this person who added the kindling here, the fire would not have moved or traveled, then pshita that he is responsible or culpable in this case. Or if you want to suggest what, without him bringing the kindling, the fire would have moved anyway. Mike, again, what did he do? Smart leaves that can't be the case. Now these last two questions that we saw from Rabbi Zeira, and the question that we saw from who was the second member was Matki Flor, Rabbi Zeira, and then who else? And Rav Sheshet were both Mitzvara, questions Mitzvara. Gemara says that they don't see the Mitzvara of how this can be similar to our Mishnah, and therefore the Gemara just leaves them go. This last question of Rav Papa comes Vaika Adatanya, comes from a Braisa. Hey, so now once you have a Braisa, already the Gemara can't just knock it off and say it's an impossible case. Now the Gemara is going to have to come up with a plausible case to explain the Braisa. So what's that? Adatanya. Hey, Shiyashvu Asal Salachat. Five people all sat down on a single bench. The lo shabrua, and they didn't break it. Then the last sixth guy comes, v'shavro acharon. And then once he sat down on it, v'shavro acharon. And then he, thank you. That he last one comes and sits, breaks it, and then he will be responsible for it. So who is this last guy that showed up here that also is responsible? So it's a famous line of Gemara, come on, Papa Barabbas. Right, the last guy who came and sat down here was somebody like Papa Barabbas. Who's Papa Barabbas? Rashi says that he was a Baal Basar, that he was a man of heft. You know, he had a lot of weight to add to the bench. And therefore, when he was the last guy to sit on the bench, he really broke the straw that broke the camel's back. So Aragon says, hey, tell me, what's the case here that he's going to be responsible? Elam is a laviu lo yizbar. Without him, it wouldn't have broken. So now he sits down and breaks because of him. Then shisa. Then the court said he's responsible because without him, it would never have broken. Ela b'delaviu nami yizbar. You would say that even without him, it would have broken. My Calvin, right? What is he doing? Meaning that if it would have broken without him, then he's not adding anything here to cause the breaking of the bench. So Mar says so. How much nisa hechemitarzo? How do you answer up this braisa? Already explained this braisa. Like before, when we had the question from Zeira and Rav Sheshet, so all we just said, we can't explain the cases, we just said, all right, those were Zvara, they were made up cases, so we let it go. But here we have a braisa, you can't just say, oh, we can't figure it out. We have to figure out a case that does work. What's that case? If he didn't sit down on it, the bench would have broken within 2 hours. But now when this large man came and sat on it, itvar b'chadosho, going to break in 1 hour. So he is expediting the breaking of the branch. They can say to him, Ilav as, if you didn't show up here, have you had fina in space, porta, but come in. We'd have sat here a little longer and then got it up before it collapsed, before it broke. But, so why doesn't he say back to them, Ilav atun, vididi, lo'av amitbar. Says, without you guys on the bench, had I just come and sat here by myself, bench wouldn't have broke. So then, where is this? What kind of claim is this? The Gemara says, "Lo, tzricha." Tzricha, the added stomach full of tovar. They leaned when he sat down on them. He didn't sit directly on the bench, but he leaned across all the people sitting on the bench. Right, so therefore, they're not able to get up, so they can't make the claim. He can't make the claim that you should be responsible for getting up. You should have gotten up because they couldn't have gotten up. Right?
Why didn't
he say, what? He was on top of them. He was on top of them.
Where did we see that?
The stomach full. Right, the stomach full of tovar.
The who?
On the bench, but on top of the people who are already sitting on the bench. So not, right. That helps. That helps to answer the problem of why he can't make the claim to them. Why are you not
from
getting up? So that's why they're not responsible. That's how it gets to their culpability. Right, so it's still pshita, because now, what else? He put everybody on there. It's his additional weight that's doing it. Right, he's not directly touching the bench. He's only exerting force on the bench through the other people. That his koach, this indirect, right, heft or weight that he's placing on the other individuals, is what equivalent to him himself sitting on the bench. So wherever his body would have caused the damage, his koach will also cause the same damage, and therefore he'll be held culpable.
So this last line is the Iker Chiddush of Mitzvah.
No, that's explaining the Braisa. What's the case of Braisa? And that is another case, right, where a single individual who is only a portion of the damage will still be culpable for all of the damage. It's another example of a case like that. We had the original example, which is by Bor. Now the Gemara came, but two lekar, are there no more cases like that? Now we came up with an additional case in the Braisa.
So the Braisa were actually vindicating
our purpose. Exactly. But two lekar, again, there are no more cases. Vaika hadatanya. What about the Braisa? He go asara bnei adam. 10 people hit an individual, but eser maklot, with 10 different sticks. They're all whacking him. Ben bebatachat, whether it happened simultaneously, ben bezeachazeh, whether it's, or it's sequentially, umeit kulan paturim. They all, in this case, are patur. When it's simultaneously, then they're patur. But when it's sequentially, then the last one's chayav, mimneishi kirevet mitato. Right? So, because he's the one who caused the final death. So according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Teira, we have a case here where someone obviously didn't cause the whole death because it was, he was just the last hit, but nevertheless he's culpable for the death. So Megillah says the katzlo kokomari. Our Mishnah is not talking about death. Our Mishnah is talking about damage. So therefore, it's not a case that we would include into the Mishnah. We're talking about mitzvah at all. We're talking about that by man. There's a difference between nezek and mitzvah. By an animal, mitzvah is just the bigger form of nezek. Right? I mean, it's not. We don't. There's not a differentiation in that way. Now, the says, Mitznei Shkir Mitzvah, because of the Lokomari. Okay, Vivai Tema Fukta Lokomari, don't deal with Machlokas. This is only true according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Teira. And our mission is not dealing with things that are Machlokas. Below. Vahav Kmina, the Lokarabi. Right? So we just said before that we set it up, right, that the Mishnah was not like Rabbi. So Mar says, the Lokarabi, Ukarabanan Mukmina. Right. When we say the Lok is not like, when our mission is not like Rabbi, who are we going like then? We're going like the Rabbanan, who are the majority. Now over here, if you want to say our mission is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Teira, who are you saying? Then you're being sholel, right? Who are you leaving out? V'lo Rabbanan, lo mukmina. That we're not going to do. We're not going to accept the mission in a case of a das yokid, right, versus the Rabbi. Now great, by Rabbi and the Rabbanan, right, that we're willing to say that it's not Rabbi, because then you end up with the Rabbanan, which is the rove. Right? You know, the possibility, I mean, the Mishnah might have mentioned over here, the possibility is to say that we had that solution before where Rabbi could also be the author of the Mishnah. So there is a possibility that it's both Rabbi and the Rabbanan. Right now, Chavti b'tushlumei nizko. So when it says, Chavti b'nizko loktani, it doesn't say I'm chayef for the nezek, ela b'tushlumei nizko, and the payment for the damage. Tahini lahadatan Rabbanan, this supports the verses that we have. Tashlumei nezek, what does this mean? Malamei she'abalim mitaplim b'nevela. That teaches us that the balim, meaning that the nizak, the one who got damaged, deals with the nevela. So now, the question, this is a general question in Nizokin, right? Chakira nezek, when one does nezek and now is culpable to pay for nezek, why do they have to pay, why do they have to pay for the nezek? Do they have to pay for the nezek because they are making remuneration for the damage that they did? They are now making payment for damage that they did. Or, the other possibility is that they have to replace the object that they damaged. Alright, so you see me, my naftamino. What's the difference between them? The difference between them will actually be what happens if the replacement value of the item changes after he does the damage. So if you say that the objective of repaying or paying for Nezek is that he must, what? He must go ahead and pay for the damage that he did. That would be irrespective of the price fluctuation at that point in time. He'll pay at the time that he did the damage. He'll pay for the damage that he did at that moment. If you say that the issue is for him to replace the object that he damaged, then if there's a fluctuating price, maybe he would be, if the price goes up or goes down, he might be even kind of more or less, because all he has to do is get the object back to the person, to the individual. So, right, so over here, sounds like from our Gemara, that is tashlumei nizko, the term shilum means that, right, it's just to make him whole, right, tashlumim is to make him whole on the object, right, or in a sense, create a replacement for the object, and that would make sense why that the balim are chayav to be mitapel b'nezek here, that all he's doing is replacing that which was missing, right, that which he caused, the damage that he caused, he has to replace it, and therefore the nevela is responsibility of the person who did it. If he was for nezek, right, then it should be, who cares about the nevela here? You did damage, which is that you killed the maimah that's no longer existing over here. Pay for the nezek, and why does the nizak have to deal with the nevela at all? If you're talking about hashlama, right, which is getting him back to whole, basically a replacement value, then you could talk about the balim keeping the nevela, I mean the nizak keeping the nevela, and then you just adding on the additional value. So that's what I was suggesting over here. This side of the gemara seems to indicate, like the side that it's not mukhrak, but I think it seems to be in that direction. Manali, how do we know this? Amar Rabbi Ami, Damar Kra, Maken Nefesh Bema Yishal Mena. Right, so Alti Kra Yishal Mena, Ella Yashli Mena. And not that you shall mend your paper, but the actual manner that you make up the differential in value. Rav Kana Amar Mi Hocha, Im Tarof in Eif, Yuveu Eif, right? So that's the pasuk by a Shomer Shachar. It says Im Tarof Itareif, Yuveu Eif, Hatrefa Lo Yishalem. Now the Gemara says, Ad, instead of saying aid over here, the Gemara is interpreting the word to mean Ad, Ad Trefa Yishalem. That up until the point of the treifa, he'll pay. But treifa tma lo yishalim, but he won't pay for the treifa itself. I mean that the treifa will remain with the nizak, the one is damaged, and then you will only pay for the amount beyond or up to the treifa. Again, an indication that the treifa stays with the nizak. Chizkiya mar mihacha, v'ameti e'elo. Right? When it says that the meti e'elo is the nizak. Right? It belongs to the nizak. Because lo, right, means the nizak. How do you know that? Chayn tanevi, it's the meti e'elo. The nizak atomer? Right? Ato omer l'nizak oen ole l'mazik. How do you know it's l'nizak ole mazik? Amar, look, right? Lo kachaya. So I said, lo kachaya, it's not this way. Someone says, my lo kachaya. What does it mean it's not this way? So I'm Rabbi, isal kadafka nevela de mazik havyo. If you think the nevela is the responsibility of the mazik, the one who does damage, liftov rachmana shor tachat shor belishto. Right, say that you're responsible for the other shore, one shore to respect the other shore, belishto, and then it doesn't have to say anything else. Vameti elo, what's the addition of the word vameti elo? Lomali, shmamino, the nizak. That meti elo is extraneous, meaning that if the mazik is the one who's really responsible for the neila, all you have to say is shor tachat ashor, you gotta replace the shor, and that's it. The nevela, that's your problem, you the mazik, you take care of that, you just gotta show up with a new shor to replace the original owner's shor. The fact that the Torah goes out and says that meti elo is an additional extraneous item, it must be referring to the nizak, has to deal with the mate or the nevela. It says it's shicha. We need all these cases. Ika tav rachmana makevei ma'ishal mena v'shem delo shicha. Because that's a case that is what? Not common. It's not common that a behema will will go ahead and kill another makevei ma'ishal mena. Is the case that a man will go ahead and kill an animal. That's just an unusual case. About treifa, the shicha, treifa where an under animal will come and do damage to another animal. Maybe in that case, right, you don't have to deal with the nevela. So viyashmina treifa mishum de memelo. Right, treifa because it happened by itself, meaning not literally by itself in the sense, but not with human intervention. Well, makabahema to be a dayim, right, there's a physical force that the person has to do. The person has to take action to hit over here. Emelo. So in that case, right, maybe it also should not be responsible. So therefore we need both of them. We need the case of treifa, and we need the case of a person doing damage to an adam, because those two cases, right, involve, what?
Person doing damage to an animal.
Animal, behema, yeah. A person doing damage to a behema, or the other case where it's a treifa, where it's another animal doing damage to this animal. So in those cases, we need both of those cases. One is to teach us that even when it's mamela damage, mamela means not a human doing the damage, right, that's coming from an outside factor, like it's breaking in and doing the damage. There, we also, still the nizak is responsible for the nevela. And in the case where, there's a human doing, which is a more unlikely case, lo shchicha, because humans don't go around smashing animals, right? So that is also an unusual case. So even in both those cases, the nizak is still responsible for the nevela. V'yishmin and hanitarti, but I know both of these, ha'mishum lo shchicha, ha'mishum de memela. Right? They both have a kula. Avala meiti elo, the case of a meiti elo, the shchicha ubi yadayim. It is shchiach. And it's also biyadayim. What does that mean? It's shchiach and biyadayim. Right? Since when did he do damage biyadayim over here? Right? I didn't see any damage biyadayim over here. This is not a person doing damage. It's either meiti elo, right? It's a case by chi gof shorich israel, right? Or we have it also by chi yiftach ishbor. Both those cases where it's a bor or a shor doing damage. The person himself is not doing damage. What does that mean? Biyadayim that he's doing damage. Right? So now we have the case of shchiach, shor the damage, right? That we know. Now, if you look in Rashi, it's important Rashi, v'ameti elo, mishtai b'shor nagach, the shchiach, that's common, u'b'yadayim hu mamash, as if he himself did it, shehu nitkavim hazik, because he had intention to do damage. Shomer tzachar, shepasha b'nitfra yedei zeiv, k'nitzke gufo chashivle, shayar lav l'shomra, that he should have watched it, right? He should have looked after it. So again, these cases of what Rashi calls nitzke gufo, right, it's considered where you don't do the proper shmira, right? It's considered as if, what? You are doing nizek beguf. And in a case where, what do we call biyadayim, it's considered a case of biyadayim, is a case where the shor does damage, and even though it's your shor doing the damage, since the shor is doing the damage with intent, right, it's considered as if it's biyadayim, since the shor is doing it with intent. Now this comes to a general chakir again in Nizakin. General chakir in Nizakin is, why are you responsible for nezik? Are you responsible for nezik because the damage was caused, right, either by your property or by you, and therefore you're responsible for the damage that you caused? Or are you responsible by when your money does damage, is because you didn't give it the proper shmirah? The lack of shmirah is what generates the obligation of here. Now, coming back, we had this on the Mishnah. Rashi actually pointed out this difference in the Mishnah. When the Mishnah used the term hechsharti, in the Mishnah he said, Rashi says there, what does the word hechsharti mean? Either that dimanti oto hezek, I caused this damage, shalosha martiv yafet, because I did not watch it properly. Right? The Mishnah Achrina, Rashi brings the second lashon of hechsharti, alai lachshir uletakinet hanezek. So I'm obligated to go and remunerate for the damage that's caused. So in that, you see in Rashi the two tzadim of why I'm responsible for nezek. Am I responsible for nezek because there's a failure in my shmirah? Or am I responsible for the nezek because, right, my object went out into damage and I have to remunerate for such damage, meaning that I have to make whole the person that got damaged. So now, in this case, you see a similar concept here that Rashi is saying that by a trefa, shomer tachar, who is posheya in his shmirah of the object. Now again, you could argue differently over here that a shomer tachar, that's his whole job, is to do shmirah, and therefore his lack of shmirah is what obligates him over here. Right? But, on the other hand, Rashi says that when you're sure your animal goes and does damage, as if you did damage via dying, as if you actually, right, did the damage yourself. That's the same thing, right, that Rashi says in the Mishnah. The fact that you were not shomer it is as if dimanti oto hezek. It's as if you yourself did the damage because you did not watch it or guard your property. Again, so this is the Gemara says, mean on Hanikar, they had I known the two cases beforehand. Amashum lo shchicha, amashum de memela. Well, maybe lo, the shchicha, the boshchia, ubi yadayim, aim alone. Yish mean on maybe lo. So what happens if I just had the case of maybe lo, which is lo shchia and yadayim, mishum de memona kamazik. Over there, it's his money that's doing damage, right? Even though it's considered biyadayim, right? This is the amazing thing. It's his mamos doing damage, but it's still considered biyadayim, and that's what I was just pointing out to you, that this chakira and shmira, why are you responsible when your money does damage? Are you responsible because it did damage, now you have to remunerate? Or are you responsible because you didn't watch it properly, and it's as if you did the damage yourself? That's what Rashi is suggesting over here. And again, in the Mishnah, the two Lashonos in the Mishnah have that differentiation between sounding like you have to remunerate, Yachsharti means to remunerate, or Yachsharti means I didn't watch it, therefore it's as if I did the damage. So Rashi over here seems to go in that direction, that the lack of watching is really a dime. Of a hokma to the gufa magic. By the case of Shomer Tachar, since it's his responsibility to watch, right, not only is it, since he's being paid to watch, it's even a higher form, right, of shia, it's as if you did the damage with your own goof. Not only is it your dying, but it's as if you physically did the damage, right? And not that you did it with your dying. Right? So the Gemara says, Emotricho, therefore I need all three of these cases to be shown this. The Amar of Kehano, the Rav, Elo, time of the Sabra of Chmona, Ameti Elo. If the Torah hadn't written the word, Ameti Elo, Halav Halki Avamina Nevelo de Mazik Avio, you would have thought that then the Nevelo belongs to the Mazik. Hashta, Ii, Late Lay, the Zidei, Kamatrefos, Yahweh. If this person has no money to pay back the damage he did, he's allowed to pay, we said before, with Shava Kesef. What's Shava Kesef? He can pay with all these trefot, all these nevelot, and he can just dish them out and give them up. So this is just one more nevela that he's handing the guy. I mean, of course he can pay him with a nevela. What's the question here? Damar Mar Yashiv, there are both Shava Kesef, Afilu Sudim, right? Did they me buy you? If you can pay the remuneration that you owe, even with a nevela, then the nevela itself, you're going to have to tell me that the Niza gets has to take with it. But the lowest are called the Pchat Nevela, right? That only needed for the Pchat Nevela. What's Pchat Nevela? Is that the Nevela goes down in value from the time that it was damaged until the time that they get the din. That diminution in value is the responsibility of the Nizak. So again, by the way, this sounds like the other side of the Chakir that we said before. The other side of the Chakir we said before, is it replacement value or Nezek? If it's Nezek, then you just look at the time of the damage and you pay for the damage. The movement of the Nevela will be irrelevant. So over here, it sounds like I'm paying for the nezek I did, not replacement value, because by the time we get to din, the replacement value is actually higher because the value of this nevela is actually much less, or is less. And therefore, when I give him the money, he can't replace his original shor with now the total money that package he has. So over here, on this side of the Gemara, it sounds like the other side of that Hatira, that what? The Pchad Nevela that you're responsible for means that you're only responsible for the Nezek you did at the moment of the Nezek. Right? Later on, any change in value, that's not your responsibility because we're focused on Nezek, not on replacement value. Okay, we'll stop over here.